Welcome to Restoration Church, located in Goleta, California. To learn more about us, please visit r-church.org. To watch our service or join us via live stream, check out our YouTube channel by searching Restoration Church Goleta.
If you would, please turn to Psalm 103. Turn to Psalm 103. That's in page 502 in the Bibles that are around the room. Psalm 103, and if you need a Bible, there's the pew, the Bible's in front of you, known as our pew Bible. That is a gift to you. Please take that Bible home, and we have the page numbers in accordance with that, so that if you don't know your way around your Bible, you're more than welcome to join us. You don't have to go to the table of contents and all that. Psalm 103, starting in verse 1, we're going to be reading the whole psalm. If you would, once you're there, please stand for the reading of God's Word. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, all you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. This is the word of the Lord. Please join me in a word of prayer. Father, we need your power and your presence to come and fill this place and fill our hearts and our minds and our wills and our emotions and our soul. Lord, I would love for you to just come and have me not say anything, just your presence take over. And so we wait on you, Father, by your grace, that as I prayed this morning that your people would experience your presence and your power. So come, Lord Jesus, come, Spirit, Father, please. May we never be the same, changed to your glory and our joy. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would, please grab a seat. What we're going to do as a part of this sermon is have a silent time of silence, silent reflection. We've been focusing, we're in a series, if you're visiting or if you haven't been here in a while, where we're focusing on the effects of current events on the soul. And it's called Oh My Soul. And we, as we know, even today, as or even last night, as I'm getting these calls with more people, and as we look around and see there's quite a few of us missing this morning, there's that kind of PTSD of like, oh, here we go again. It's like, oh, nothing's shutting down. Everything will be fine. But we said that the first time. Oh, no. Are we going to end up in months of isolation again? No way. And so how does that affect the soul? So I've been asking you for the last few weeks to just stop. Hey, where are you at? And the example that we've been using consistently is a map. That if you have a map, how many of you guys remember paper maps? You see them on walls every once in a while. Those historic things. But if you had a map, you would need two things to be able to negotiate on that map. And I think in Christianity, as we use that metaphor, a lot of us know where we want to go. We want to be more like Jesus. We want to shout it. We want to tell other people about Jesus, fulfill the Great Commission. We want to be more patient and kind and loving. Like, we have an idea of where we're going, but so little, I believe, do we stop to ask, where are we at? Because that's the second thing you need on a map. You need to know where you're at so that you can then negotiate the journey on where you want to go. And so what I'm going to ask is this, is I'm going to ask you to take a time of silent reflection, focusing on the condition of your soul. And I want you to ask this question that's on the next slide. What is keeping you from experiencing God's presence and power in your life? What is keeping you from experiencing God's presence and power in your life? As an example, I'm just trying to be honest and transparent with you guys. This is what I wrote in my quiet time this morning as I got out to prepare my heart for this sermon. It says this: in my time of silence this morning, I asked, Lord, what's keeping me from experiencing the flow of your power in my life? Anxiousness was an immediate response. Lord, why am I anxious? Fears and insecurities arose. And so I said, Lord, I surrender these to you. Your word says to be anxious in nothing and to consider the lilies. So I trust in your word. Yet my soul was reminded that God's work often addresses the deeper issues, also known as the root of the problem. You see, oftentimes, we have an issue with our soul, sometimes behavioral, sometimes emotional. We'll call that A. That's A if we look at it as an equation. And we know that Christ and his word is the answer. We'll call that C. And so usually in Christianity, we say the equation is A equals C. Like, I have a problem. What's the answer? Anyone? Jesus. That's the answer. But often another more silent sin exists. We'll call that B. And so really the equation is A plus B equals C. What's the root is what I was asking and doing soul searching this morning. So I asked the Lord, what's the B? God answered, you're afraid of getting hurt again. I said, that's true. And then he said, why? Have I not always been there when you have been hurt? Have I not always turned your pain into redemption? I said, yes, you have. He said, well, then what are you afraid of? And I said, you're right. I'm sorry. I will not be afraid. I feel like the fool who says there's a lion in the streets and does not leave his home. I have no reason to be afraid because God is with me. And then I have a habit of writing down my prayers. I prayed this in response to that time with the Lord. Lord, I surrender my fears. They have caused anxiety for too long. You are with me and you are good. You are for me and you are the God of all. What or who can stand against me when you, a God of consuming fire, are with me? Father, may my fears be burned away by the fiery truth that you are with me and you are God. I love you, Abba, in Christ. Amen. I share that with you. I want to be vulnerable, but I also want the same for you. I want you to be able to go past the surface and facade of Christianity, stop playing around, and actually experience and hear God's words and presence in your life. And so let me ask you this question. What is keeping you from experiencing God's presence and power in your life? So now we're going to take an awkward, long silence. Most of you aren't used to this. But I want to create space for you to be able to ask this question. You need to keep looking up and asking the question, what is keeping me from experiencing God, your presence and your power in my life? And then just simply allow him to speak into your life in the various ways that God speaks. What is keeping you from experiencing God's presence and power in your life? Now, I know I didn't prompt you or warn you, but I would love to hear what God was speaking to you. And so who would be so bold as to give testimony to what they heard from the Lord?
Through my journey, I've always been a control freak. And I just want everything to be perfect, and I want everything to be in my control, and I just want it to work out. Then COVID hit, and things didn't work out, and I wasn't happy about that. And I think trusting God and his plan has always been a struggle for me, and letting go of control, I think, is what is in the way.
I turned and looked in the mirror and just said, me. He gives us a plan. He gives us instructions. We come here every week. We listen. And then I seemingly don't seem to apply that in a consistent manner. So it's where my free will comes into place. God gives us that free will, which makes it so great when you do come to Jesus, how awesome that it is. Here's the great thing about it. And I know as I sit here, in that spot, that my maturity as a Christian, as it grows, knows that I'm not going to convict myself, right? So I'm going to feel it in this spot, know that I'm preventing it, but I also know that God gives me that ability to go one step just one step further, a little bit every day, every week. And so although I'm in that spot, he still is with me every step of the way.
I think the biggest thing that stops me from feeling God's presence and power in my life is that I honestly have to admit I don't really trust God nearly as much as I should. And like what you were saying, your testimony just made me realize, like, okay, God's actually been there, like, in my darkest times. I just sort of felt like he wasn't. I just really struggle with this feeling like God's abandoned me, and I'm kind of a little angry and resentful about that in some ways, and I'm really struggling to let that go and see that, like, that God is working in my life. If you guys don't mind, I'm going to share some lyrics from a song I like. It's a Christian song, but it's this very screamy song. Like, I like screamy music, okay?
Imagine that.
So it's, the human says, "It's like you're deaf to my voice. I've been here for every moment, waiting for your call to move. If you could just make a choice, I know you would find me wanting only to be close to you." And God says, why do you deny my life? Because I've stayed and I fight, but you keep looking for me where I'm not. I won't just be where you want me to be. You've got to believe and trust that I can be anything, because I've fought, and I just want all of you. I've already made my choice, and if you would just let me pry all your grips and worries, I would come alive in your life and lift you to the peaks of your longing. So just, I hope you can take that as encouragement today.
Can you scream that next time? Okay, just kidding. Thank you so much for sharing. Roberto.
That was rad. So for me, it was just straight up the Bible, you know, just being in the Word. I've been, you know, trusting in God for a long time. I learned, you know, to completely let go a long time ago. And I can tell you the experiences I've had with that has been incredible, you know. So I definitely encourage all of you to, you know, to let go, because he reveals himself pretty amazing, you know, when you do completely trust in him. But where I kind of know that I'd be getting more of God's presence and more of God's power is if I was in the Word daily, you know, and that's always been, you know, kind of my struggle is just, you know, separating that time on a daily basis to just, you know, be with him and be in his Word, because, you know, that's how he communicates more to us, you know. And I mean, for me to think, oh my gosh, you know, I can have more of God's presence, more of God's power. I mean, I already feel, you know, a lot of that on a daily basis, but you know, he wants to grow closer to us and love us even more. So that is for me.
For me lately, and maybe it's like the COVID series, I've just been not feeling the Lord's presence in the, any of the work I've been doing. And I mean, there was one time, La Colina Junior High, we were giving out Testaments, and Wes and I were just like, it was like 40% of the kids seemed to be like, and we hadn't been there in a year and a half, but we're taking the Testaments, and it was just like we felt Lord's presence. And then lately, you know, Planned Parenthood or Gideon's, I just have not been wanting to do it. And I mentioned it at a prayer meeting maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, and another elder said, "Who cares if you feel it or not? You're still doing what God requires." And, you know, but I guess it's like milk versus meat, you know. It's to keep the discipline. And anyway, but that's what's holding me back right now, is I don't feel like God's there where I am. Yeah.
I was saved by God both literally and physically. And I want to shout it to the mountains that God is good and testify. He's done so much in my life. I just love God. I want to shout it to the mountains and testify, testify, testify. And when you have God in your heart, it's what you do. It just is. It's like an overflow of love. And that's what I got. Thank you.
I think for me, it's been sort of a progression because I met the Lord really young. And so when I was praying, I actually got a list of things that I think started hopefully when I was little. So I got salvation and judgment and control, the unknown, and then being unprepared. And I think when I looked at those when I was praying, of course, we get to the root, and that root really is trust. But in this season right now, and feeling unprepared, I feel like the Lord is really impressing on me the significance and the beauty of the power of His Holy Spirit. And so in each of those seasons, I've seen the love of Abba Father. And then He showed me right at salvation and judgment, there's my daddy, and He's taking care of me in those younger years of my walk. And then I go into, you know, control and unknown, becoming a wife and a mother and things that are, you know, plaguing my life. And then I get to see and meet God as Jesus. And then now, feeling unprepared, I feel like we've coming in as a people into a season, or at least in this city, I guess, where the Lord has opened my eyes to just needing something more. His kingdom is not a kingdom of words, right, but of power and understanding the essential part of His being, the Holy Spirit, and letting that power, His power, work inside of us to bring us to the place that we are. And each of those stages has required trust in a different way. I believed I was saved, and I knew that, you know, Jesus's blood covered me, but now I He's bringing me to a place of understanding that His power is truly working in me, and to be able to sit in a place of surrender and say, thank you, Holy Spirit, you can do this work, and I trust that you're working in me to get things done, and it's not on me, it's all in you, and you're all powerful, so.
Amen. Just leave that back there. Thank you so much for sharing. The kind of availability to be able to seek the Lord in such a way is available for all of us every single day. To be able to just separate some time. It takes discipline. I get it. It takes some time to be able to actually get in a routine of stopping and like being silent and trying to listen and reading through the word consistently and spending some time in prayer and some journaling and these types of spiritual disciplines like fasting and these types of things, they're all available for us. But at the end of the day, those things lead to truths that are already true. I just want to be clear. Like all those things are reminders so that, did I mess up the camera? Sorry. All these things are reminders of things that are already true about you. That's why I love Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. And my hope is that through this series, we will be able to see that there is more than just Bible reading and prayer and study. All those things are absolutely vital and essential to the Christian life and the understanding. But the spiritual discipline I want to add in as we go through this series is preaching to yourself. Preaching to yourself. How many of you guys talk to yourself? Yeah. For those of you that aren't raising your hands, we still need honesty here. But the bottom line is like we constantly talk to ourselves. As Paul Tripp, as you guys have heard me say this before, no one influences you more than you do because no one speaks to you more than you do. No one influences you more than you do because no one actually speaks to you more than you do. The consistent talk, self-talk in your mind. What I love about Psalm 103, and most of us, when we see someone talking to each other, now it's changed a lot because we have Bluetooth in our cars. Like 10 years ago, when someone was talking in their car, we just thought they were a little crazy. Right? Just me? Like, bottom line is you see someone talking to themselves. Now we have no idea because they have little tiny, like, we can't see the devices that are in their ear. They're probably just talking to someone on the phone, right? So now we have the ability to talk to ourselves without being judged by anybody because everyone just assumes that we're talking to somebody on some sort of Bluetooth device. And the cool thing is it's been going on for a long time. David writes, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me." And I can't help but to think what he's saying here. First of all, David is talking to himself. David is saying, Saul, hey, bless the Lord. Like that's the, don't lose that kind of craziness that's going on there. He actually says in this psalm, he's speaking to his own soul. Now there's, you can go down the rabbit hole of dichotomy and trichotomy. Is it soul and spirit? Are we three? And all these different things. Let's just put a pin in that and just think, okay, soul is your inward being. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And then it says, and all that is within me. And I can't help but to think that David reciting Psalm or Deuteronomy 6:4 continually that says, hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your might. And so what he's saying is, soul, get in line with what I know is already true. That I love God with all my heart, soul, and mind. Not perfectly, not as consistently as I would like it, but the bottom line is he's going, hey, come back to what you already know. All the inward parts of myself to bless. That word bless means to praise. Basically, he's saying, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Sing it out like we sang earlier. Sing it out, soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Praise his holy name. Verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. I think that the question, what is keeping you from experiencing God's power and presence? Well, it's a few things. One of them is just being honest. And I stress that, but I often wonder what kind of, how you guys are hearing that. Because I'm sort of sensing that we don't know how to be honest with ourselves. That there's a cover, and we've been living in a facade for so long that we're just kind of used to it, and we just assume that's who we are. But at the end of the day, what I'm asking you to do is to look past the curtain and look into your soul so that you can have the ability to be able to go, what's up with me? Why do I keep doing this? Whatever this is for you. Why do I keep telling myself what my talk, my self-talk? Why do I keep believing that God doesn't love me? Why do I keep believing that I'm not his kid? And then to look past that and go, what's the reason why that lie is there or that voice is consistent? Or why is it so hard for me to believe? And then we're able to speak truth into that. Because again, if you go back to the equation, we know that Christ is the answer. Everybody with me? Amen. Christ is the answer. Okay. So if we know that Jesus is the answer, we know we're going to get there someday. But the thing is that oftentimes we just, and you've heard me say this before, we just pick the roots, but we never go, or pick the weeds, but we never go down to the root to see what's really going on in our soul. And like if you read the fathers of the faith and look at those that have been walking in maturity in the Lord for a long time, you're going to see this maturity, not just in integrity and godliness, but this maturity of honesty and authenticity and humility, because they've been able to look into their soul, get scared on what they're actually seeing, but then allow God to speak into that place and redeem it. Because there's sections of your soul that still need light. Otherwise, you'd be in heaven already. God would just swoop you down and come get you. And so we are on this process. And so sometimes, as we're doing this soul searching and being honest, we need to then, the solution to these things is not to just navel gaze and stay there, but to proclaim the word of God in those dark places. Just like in the beginning, God said, let there be light. What happened, saints? Right? See, we have the authority, and Rick's going to be preaching on the authority that we have to speak God's word into our own lives next week. And so I'm just kind of setting that up right now. We have, that we're called to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. But we have power to bring down strongholds. Those strongholds are what affect our thoughts and our minds. You see, right here is where the battle is. In your head. And if we're able to then in those spots be able to go, hey, mind, hey, soul, hey, heart, align with the truth of God's word. Because here's the crazy thing. Brothers and sisters in Christ, you have the authority to speak the word of God into your life so that you actually believe it. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. And forget not his benefits, the biblical idea of remembering. Remembering what? Now, what's interesting is he's still talking to himself. It seems like when he says, bless the Lord, forget not all his benefits, verse 3, who forgives all your iniquity, that somehow he's now then, say, talking about y'all. But he's not. He's still talking to his own soul. He's like, hey, soul, don't forget. Don't forget what? That God forgives all your iniquity, soul, who heals all your diseases, soul, who redeems your life from the pit. He brought you from death to life, soul, who crowns you. The word crowns there surrounds you. It's the idea, the Hebrew word of surrounding, with steadfast love and mercy, and who, soul, satisfies you with good, so that, soul, your youth is renewed like the eagles. And that's the crazy thing is that it doesn't mean that we're not going to get old. That's not what this verse means. It's not a fountain of youth in Scripture. So what is it speaking to? It's speaking of callousness of soul. It's speaking of that you've been in the faith for so long now that, like we talked about a few weeks ago, you've lost that childlike faith. You've lost that youthfulness, that renewal of soul that is so needed to be excited and exuberant about the things of God again. It's become humdrum. And here's what I would love to see, that you would experience personal renewal in your life and that you would come back, that you would be able to say, align yourself to God's word. How? By searching your own soul and seeing what's blocking. Is it pride? Is it tradition that has gotten in the way of biblical spirit-led life? Is it, like, what is it? Is it legalism? Is it licentiousness? Is it a certain sin that has kept you and just holds you and binds you and keeps you captive? What is it? And when you define it, then understand that you have the authority of God's word to speak into that and destroy whatever's keeping God's power and presence from your life. Like, you have that. I can't do it for you. It's time to grow up, saints. It's time to actually put some steps to the faith that you mark on your voting ballot. And begin to experience a personal renewal. Come back to that childlike faith. And I love that idea of the eagle, because in one commentary it was like, well, what does Scripture mean by eagles? And one pondered, or through the study of its other uses, that your youth be renewed like the eagles, is that the writer David is looking, in other places in the Psalms, is looking at this eagle that flies up and fly so high into the sky. And it's not his strength that got him there. It's his surrender to the jet stream that got him there. Now, we think about that. We think about how Scripture is used to bring about the idea of wind is what? The Spirit. And so at the end of the day, having youth renewed, it's this. You surrender and let go and begin to just Like, take it all, God. Like, I have nothing left, God. I renounce everything, God, to be your disciple, to be your son, to know you and to have eternal life. Like, I surrender it all, God. We let it all go so that then we can spread our wings and let the Spirit of God soar our spirits into the heavenlies so that our minds would be fixed on the author and finisher of our faith. You guys with me? But it's not just about you. It's not just about, the psalmist goes on from verse 6 on, he talks about community. So then it says, like, the Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. The idea that the spiritual vitality, the spiritual renewal starts with you and your soul searching and then taking that into the community of believers and confessing and then encouraging one another and reminding one another. Like, that's the call. That's why we have community groups. That's why we have women's Bible study. That's like one-on-one discipleship. And if you're not in something like that, call me. I'll come to your house. I'll go take you to lunch and we'll talk. Do something to step into the maturity of Christ, but you don't do it alone. It starts with you, some soul searching, and then you take that into community. Look at verse 10. He does not deal with us according to our sins. Come on, somebody. Nor repay us according to our iniquities. That's good news. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. Verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As the father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. And these are all simple reminders. When someone comes up to you and confesses sin to you, what do? Do you shame them? Or do you remind them that their sins are forgiven from the east to the west and show compassion like a father and point them to the gospel? Point them for the reason why they have forgiveness of sin. And then verse 15, it goes into mankind generally. As for man, his days are like grass. So it goes from you to community to our world. And then much in the same way, our proclamation is the same. Because we know that man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. And the wind passes and it's gone. But then it goes, like in other scripture, it says, but the word of God, what? What is the word of God? It lasts forever. That our lives are fleeting and like a vapor, but the word of God will outlast this universe. That's a big deal. And so we proclaim the word of God to ourselves. We proclaim the word of God in community with one another. And then we proclaim the word of God to this world, all the way to the point to where all things receive the word of God. Look at verse 20. Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion, which is everywhere at all time and all place. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Now I've been talking about this book. You can buy it at our book counter, our welcome counter. It's called Note to Self, The Discipline of Preaching to Yourself. And I just want to read you this part in rejoicing. It says, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. And then it starts with this. Dear self, I know you see those words and you often ponder them with both longing and frustration. Joy? The way the psalmist describes it often leaves you with the impression that this kind of happiness is not real, but just an amplified expression of what you experience in small real life measure. Or you think that it's just a short burst of emotion that arises in a moment of deep worship. But let's be honest, The reason you do not experience the joy you read about in Scripture is because your heart is divided and your interests are spread thin. Why the call for joy? Why can all creation sing and serve its creator with gladness? Because he really is God. Know that the Lord, he is God. At times you have found yourself wondering, is this real? God, the Bible, Jesus, Satan, sin, and salvation, is it all real? You don't admit that to those around you, but there are times when you question it all. And in his grace, God confirms by his word and spirit that it is true. He is God, and the reality of your theology gives you joy. What you believe is not a religious game or a man-made crutch upon which you lean for a little assistance. Rather, it is the divinely revealed truth that makes you who you are and gives you cause to rejoice. You can rejoice not only because he is God, but because we are his people. And as such, he protects us, provides for us, and in all ways necessary for us to know him more fully, enjoy him more deeply, and make him known more widely. And you can rejoice because his love remains over you now and always. It never dries up. It never runs low or fades out. His love endures forever. Because of all this and so much more, you can know the joy the psalmists describe in their songs. You just need to return to these truths. You need reminding. If I could have the band come up. We've got two songs for you, and then we're going to, during those two songs, communion will be available on your left and on your right. And communion is a physical act for us to remember, man, this glorious truth that the reason why we can remind our souls, the reason why we have access, the reason why we have authority is because Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. That's how they are forgiven from the east to the west. Is because he died on the cross for you, taking the punishment you deserved. Our God is a consuming fire, amen? And the fire that we deserved in punishment of our sin, Christ took on the cross. So the fire we now experience is like the fire of Moses, a bush that doesn't burn. We are no longer consumed with his wrath, but instead can experience his presence. And all this is wrapped up metaphorically in the idea that we take the bread, and when we break it, we're thankful for God giving his son to die for us. And we take the juice and we drink it, we're reminded of the new covenant by which we now exist. And so when you're ready, there'll be pastors, leaders on either side to serve you communion. In the meantime, if you would please stand for prayer and song. Father, Lord, let your power and your presence come. Yes, God, let your power and your presence come. Not just today, not just now. Not just in this moment, but this afternoon and tonight and tomorrow morning, yes, even on a Monday, that we would be reminded of your power and your presence, and that we would feel. And Lord, whenever we feel like something's stopping that flow of your power and presence in our life, would you give us the wisdom and the wherewithal and the discernment to be able to search our souls, say, what's blocking that? And let some real work of redemption begin. Give us the grace to do so. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening in. If you have any questions or need prayers, send us an email at info@r-church.org. Grace and peace.